And we welcome you back to your morning tradition for Tuesday morning, August the 11th. If you hear a low rumble in the background, we'll have more with Father Peter Scott in a minute, but if you're hearing a low rumble sort of in the background, I don't know if anybody can hear that.
I don't think so.
This is just my headphones, my superhuman hearing?
Yep.
All right.
That's what it is.
We have cranked the air conditioner up to high.
It's hot.
At the Austin Family Compound. So we're cooling off as the subjects heat up here on your morning tradition.
Yes,
we're going to wrap things up with Father Peter Scott, who's been gracious enough to hang on the line with us here via Skype from South Africa. We've been taking apart Laudato Si, the Pope's encyclical. And is it possible, Father, that perhaps maybe we're just misinterpreting or misunderstanding, or the Pope wasn't clear enough on what he was saying or
no,
anything?
He explains himself perfectly well.
I mean, and I'm just trying to think, does he mean something else?
This encyclical, he means what he says. This encyclical is extremely well planned. It's divided up into six chapters. It's all laid out from the very beginning, what it's all about. And there's no question or doubt about it whatsoever that he directs it. Who is this encyclical directed towards? It's to all people. It's not directed towards Catholics, but to all people. And what does it concern? Our common home. It's not about doctrine or faith or living for eternity. It's about our common home. So it's not directed specifically to Catholics at all.
Mm-hmm.
And although it mentions Catholic things, it's only in certain sections. That the whole goal of the encyclical is directed towards mankind and to get mankind to honor the environment. That's why he finishes the encyclical with two prayers. These two prayers are very interesting. One prayer is for Christians,
and the other
and
is
one
for
prayer
the world, right? The whole world,
and as if there could be a prayer which is not through Jesus Christ, or which is not acknowledged that the one true God is the Blessed Trinity. But there they are. At the conclusion of this lengthy reflection, which has been both joyful and troubling, I propose that we offer two prayers. The first we can share with all who believe in God, who is the all-powerful Creator, while in the other we Christians ask for inspiration to take up the commitment to creation set before us by the Gospel of Jesus. And it summarizes the whole thing. You don't have to be Christian to pray. You don't have to be Christian to take care of the universe, the environment. But it helps if you're Christian, and if you are Christian, then your religion is going to help you take care of the creation. That's what it's for.
This seems to be a calling for everyone in the world to get around the fire pit, hold hands, and sing Kumbaya together as we sway back and forth.
Yes, that's one way of putting it.
But
if somebody is praying, doesn't that mean that they're believing in God?
Not necessarily.
Well, this is how the prayer is. All-powerful God, you are present in the whole universe and in the smallest of your creatures. You embrace with your tenderness all that exists. Pour upon us the power of your love. It's a purely natural conception of God who is present in the universe. It's perfectly compatible with pantheism.
And
you don't have to believe in an individual, a personal God who is the creator of the universe. He's in the creatures. He's in the creation. He's there everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's a divinization of creation.
And I'm sorry to say it again, but that just all seems so Masonic to me. Are we ever going to see, Father, are we ever going to see an encyclical from this Pope that is
Catholic?
Well, that's on our sinfulness. Will there ever be anything said about homosexual unions? Will there ever be any solid teaching?
The problem is that Pope Francis, being very liberal in his ideas, does not believe in solid teaching. He's the one who's created all these problems with the homosexuals when he himself stated, remember on the airplane, who am I to judge?
Yes,
that's right.
And he is the one who's made it very clear, and he has concelebrated with actively homosexual priests, and so he has made it quite clear that we cannot condemn homosexuality. And of course, he is the one who holds the power of the keys and the gates to the kingdom of heaven. He is the one, more than anybody else on this earth, who has the power and the duty to condemn evil and perversity and homosexuality in particular.
And it's not being done.
And, you know, just last Thursday, he gave a talk in his catechism, and it was on the whole question of those people who have been divorced and remarried and outside the church.
Right.
Now, he states in that talk that their state is incompatible with the sacrament of marriage, but then he goes on to say that we must not refuse to embrace them and accept them and take them amongst our own, and that the church loves them, and consequently that we must not be like in former times, condemning them and isolating them, but we must make them welcome in every way, which of course leads one to believe that is encouraging Eucharistic hospitality towards them, although they're public sinners. And, of course, he makes it seem as if the church in the past was not welcoming to such persons, which is not true.
Right, it's not true at all.
Church has always welcomed them, mm-hmm. but said you're going to either get your marriage blessed by the church or you separate before you can receive the sacraments. You're living in public sin, and we love you. We want to encourage you and embrace you to live the faith, but you still are living in mortal sin, and my duty in charity towards you is to say you've got to correct that situation, otherwise you're going to go to hell.
Yeah. Obviously, we have to, we must, we always have prayed for the Pope, pray for the Holy Father. And I as faithful, I think that's about all we can do, is it not? I mean, we can correct the Holy Father in our speech and our language and the like, but is it going to fall on deaf ears?
What is certainly true is that Pope Francis is not interested in tradition or in traditional Catholics, and he has repeatedly spoken in a very sarcastic and negative manner against traditional Catholic theology and teaching and practice in the traditional Mass. So he's not going to listen. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is make reparation, and the reparation that we need to make is for naturalism. We'll make that reparation by our devotion towards our Divine Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, and a devotion towards the Blessed Virgin Mary and her Immaculate Heart, and fulfilling the requests of Our Lady of Fatima. That's the best thing that we can do, because no human means is going to change this crisis in the church,
right.
And nothing that we can say is going to change the naturalism of those people who are gained by Pope Francis's way of thinking. And so we have to make reparation. I think we also have to try and understand a little bit of where he's coming from. And John Vernari made a very interesting analysis of Laudato Si, and pointed out that the ideas that are in it come from Leonardo Boff.
Hmm.
Now, Leonardo Boff was a theologian of the in Brazil, and is still a theologian of the liberation theology, who was condemned by the church in 1984, and who left the priesthood when he was disciplined and is now laicized Franciscan. He was the great author of the liberation theology, which was a form of Marxism and conversion of theology into concern for the environment and for the poor. And most of the ideas in this encyclical can be directly traced to Leonardo Boff. Hmm. In fact, soon after he became Pope, Pope Francis contacted Leonardo Boff to ask for some information and documents for his coming encyclical on the environment.
That's
interesting. And so all this high idea of interconnectedness and this whole idea of this using religion to talk about the natural world in which we exist and to motivate it and to use the Trinity and the Eucharist and all these other things, it comes right out of Leonardo Boff, who uses all of these Catholic words to convey cosmic concepts that have nothing to do with doctrine, but which have everything to do with purely natural concepts such as the environment.
And using the Catholic words, it seems like it is a deliberate recipe, a deliberate attempt to confuse the issue and to stick it all into one big pot and stir it all up.
But I don't think it's fair to say that it's a deliberate effort to confuse.
Ah.
There is no effort to confuse. Pope Francis' ideas are very clear. He's not trying to confuse whatsoever. He's trying to teach what he wants to teach, and that is that we all have an obligation in virtue of our religion for a conversion to love the world, the creation in which we live, and that this is truly an interior conversion, and this is what the spiritual life consists in.
Wow.
I guess it's...
And so this is very deliberate, but it's naturalism, and it's turning religion to the service of the natural order. But it's not confusion. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's very precise about it, and he explains it very clearly. It's confusing to those of us who expect to read an encyclical as before Vatican II, simply explaining Catholic doctrine.
Yes.
When we don't understand why he's saying these things, it can be confusing. But once you read what he's saying and understand what he's saying, it's not confusing anymore.
Father Peter Scott is on with us from South Africa via Skype, and we're talking about Laudato Si, the so-called Hug a Tree encyclical, as I've heard it called, of Pope Francis. Father, we appreciate your time and your efforts and your clarity on the issue. And God help us. Hit your knees. Pray for the Pope.
Reparation.
Pray for reparation. So thank you, Father Scott, so much.
It's great talking with you, Mike and Lisa. And
thank you. It's always great to talk with you, Father. And thank you.
We will do it again.
God bless now.
All right, Father. Thank you. Father Peter Scott from Africa via Skype.
Yeah.
There's a lot of knowledge there. We have a regular ongoing dialogue with Father Scott that we're very close to coming up with a Ask Father Scott segment. Not so much for our show, but I think we should do that later in the day, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a whole entire show built around Father Scott, and you email. We're not able at this point to do live call-in, but...
I could probably blog about it.
You blog and then people email us questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then we gather the questions. Say, this is from Louise in whatever town. That would work.
Yeah, that would work.
All right, we'll talk to him about that. Because now that he's got the headset, this is really cool.
Oh, the headset really sounded nice.
It did. It was nice. So, and our thanks to Father Scott for taking that. Because when he talks to us, it's like 11 o'clock at night out there or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Because we pre-record our show in the afternoon, and so it gets complicated. It's all we can do to try and figure out what the heck day it is that we're working on. Sometimes,
this
literally.
This is true.
Okay, so we're going to take a break and come back and just wrap up your day, your Tuesday here today. It is our pleasure to be of service to you. Mike and Lisa Austin, bleary-eyed and downing gobs and gobs of nut brown, smoldering Guadalupe coffee. You like that?
Sounds good.
Speaking of which, we should tell everybody about Father Cyprian. We'll do that in a minute. We'll be back in just a second here on Magnificat Radio and MagnificatMedia.com. It's your morning tradition. Mike and Lisa Austin, we are
living our faith.
And welcome back to your morning tradition. Mike and Lisa Austin, making our way through the morning here. We've had some pretty interesting emails. We had an email from a guy who used to be a truck driver
mm-hmm.
the other night. And
I have to say thank you for that.
Okay.
We got it during a time when we were kind of low. It's been like one of those weekdays, weekend kind of things. And his email just brightened our day.
Yeah. He was saying that he used to listen to Catholic radio on Sirius, right? The satellite radio.
Yes.
Yeah. Which we're going to look into. I want to look into that. I think you have to have a certain number of listeners and audience reach and things like that
mm-hmm.
to be viable on there, which we don't have, just to be quite honest with you, but we're good with our little radio apostolate right now. Someday I can't tell you how many times I've been asked, are you guys going to get on regular radio?
Yeah, we're going to look into that too.
Are you going to get on where can I hear you on the regular radio?
Yeah.
And that's coming, hopefully. The problem with that is what you hear right now, our two voices, is our staff. And regular radio means a lot of equipment that wears out usually at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And then the little thing gives you an automated call. It's a little robot that says, you're off the air. And then you have to wake up and go in. And there's a lot that goes on.
Yeah.
But we're...
Baby steps.
It's not off the plate. It's not out of the realm.
Mm-mm.
But we'll do this first. Anyway, so welcome back to your morning tradition here at Magnificat Radio. We're constantly growing our programming and stuff, and we hope to have an announcement for you this week about something we might be doing with the Angelus Press Conference.
Yeah, we're working on that.
We're working on it.
We'll find out more tomorrow.
So tomorrow, Louis Tafari is going to join us again. He's going to talk on the liturgy and why we do what we do. Louis is a great resource and has really quickly become a very good friend and advisor, really, kind of on the radio station, too. He'll call us up. He'll go like, guys, I just had a great idea. What do you think of this?
He has great ideas.
Louis, it takes money and people. We have neither, but we'll work on it. You know, but no, he's a great guy. And he's given us all this information for free, for nothing. And
he's,
we appreciate that.
Helpful.
So thank you, Louis. Anyway, Louis is going to be on with us tomorrow. You're going to love his segments. And we're working on, we were just put in touch with this story. Father Cyprian, who we've been trying to get scheduling together, he was just doing a big retreat, I think.
Down in St. Mary's?
In St. Mary's, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Folks in St. Mary's, you've probably seen him walking around.
Right.
I mean, you can't miss the haircut, let's be honest.
Right.
So, and Father Cyprian is a commanding presence.
Yes, he is.
So, God love him. He's trying to find time in his schedule he can talk with us about several of the projects, not the least of which is so supernatural. And maybe you are familiar with this. I'm going to let him tell more about it. But Our Lady's Tilma, the Tilma on Our Lady of Guadalupe, right?
They found out more.
Yeah. And yep. I don't know how long this has been in the works, because I don't think this is brand new. I seem to have heard of this before. What they did is they took, some musical genius took, okay, on the picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe, on the tilma, on her covering. If you take the stars around her head and the stars on the tilma and the flowers too, and you just line, you don't have to line them up any different way. You just take them for where they are. It looks like randomly placed.
Correct.
It makes music. It they are musical notes.
Yeah, isn't that a surprise?
Supernaturally, and if you listen to it, and there is recording, someone is, and that's what Father Cyprian is going to talk about, because they're working on producing.
Mm-hmm.
There are some preliminary recordings of what this sounds like, and it's otherworldly. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing.
I can't wait to hear more about that.
It'll blow you away. So anyway, we're working on getting Father Cyprian on with us, and And I know what I wanted to mention. This is, things were slipping in my mind. I got to get this out here while I'm thinking of it.
Okay.
We were told the story, and folks in St. Mary's may know this already. And by the way, we do, lately it's been bothering me, only a little. We've had a lot of guests on from Kansas and St. Mary's and Kansas City and things like that. We're not focusing on that because we're working on getting folks from out in Idaho and really,
East Coast.
Well, and wherever there happens to be traditional Catholics, we're interested in those stories.
Sure we are.
So, you know, let us
Everybody
know
has
stuff.
A great story somewhere.
But here's another one that we were told about. We didn't get, I've never had a chance to meet this guy. We didn't meet him, did we, at the ordinations?
No, but we did see him.
Right, we saw him.
Right.
I'm talking about Brother Francis of the Heart of Mary. He's a Franciscan hermit in St. Mary's, Kansas, up on top of the hill by the big barn. And anybody who's been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's a little brick building that he lives in, very sparsely, and he relies on people giving him food and stuff.
Right.
And him being praise. And anyway, so we've got to get somebody to get us this story. He is in his little hut, for lack of a better term, and there's a lightning storm going on. And it's lightning all around him. And he plays guitar, a nice acoustic guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sitting there, and that comes into the story here in a minute. So the story, the way I received it was, so he gets on his knees and he's praying to Saint Michael, to save him, not to let him get hurt.
Correct.
Because
right? Right.
if he goes outside,
it was
big
a lightning
problem.
Storm.
It's a lightning storm, and it's
right.
going around a Kansas lightning storm.
Yeah.
So he gets on his knees shortly after he starts the prayer, and he gets his prayer going, or else he finished it. Saint Michael, the archangel, defend us, please save me. Okay.
Right.
A lightning bolt strikes the smokestack of his wood stove, travels down into the hut, hits his guitar, burns his guitar and melts the strings.
Fries it.
Yeah.
Just as he was finishing.
And that's divine providence right
there.
And
he was okay.
And he's okay. And we were talking about we should get him on as a guest. However,
I don't think he can talk.
He can't do that.
Right.
Right.
Not that he can't talk.
He can talk. He can't come on the radio. Right. He can't come on the internet or the radio stuff. It's a vow.
Right.
And so we're working on getting that whole story. But I think that's pretty much it. And in fact, we were given pictures of his guitar. It's just amazing. Do you think if you scan these would work out okay?
I can try.
The strings are literally melted together.
I know.
Can you imagine had he been holding that, playing it, just playing? Listen, I'm going to soothe myself through the lightning storm. I'll play my guitar.
Well, not only just that, just around the whole area. That's my understanding is that it didn't.
Right.
He was lucky.
Oh, yeah.
Not lucky. It was divine providence.
Right. He was blessed. I mean, he says his prayer. The whole thing gets hit by lightning down the smokestack of your wood stove. Anyway, so it's an amazing
thanks
story.
Thanks be to God to that.
There are miracles out there, as we all know. And so there you go. Tomorrow, it's Louis Tafari is going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking about standing, sitting during now I'm coming up with a blank there. It is late, people.
So. You poor guy. You are a hard worker,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, I guess. So anyway, so tomorrow, Louis Tafari will be talking about us. Sanctus.
The Sanctus.
Yeah. And other things. I mean, that's not going to be the whole thing.
But no, I'm sure there's more.
We'll talk with Louis tomorrow. Thank you for being a part of our day and making us part of yours and letting us squeeze into your life there. Magnificat Radio at MagnificatMedia.com. We are your morning tradition, Mike and Lisa Austin, where we are every single day
living our faith.